Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. Well, here are a few statements. I'm going to read them. I want you to decide if any of them resonate with you. Are you ready? I want to have better relationships, but it seems all on me to fix things. Or this particular person's approval means way too much to me. It's like it controls me. Or why can't I get free from this fear cycle? Here's another one. I know I'm not free. I just don't know why. Any of those resonate with you? Well, my guest today is Steve Arterburn, and he says that if you find yourself having any of these feelings, it is time to take your life back. He's going to give us some wisdom and help us understand how we can stop letting the past and other people control us. In fact, the title of his book is Take Your Life Back. We had such a strong response last time Steve was on as we talked about his book that we just wanted to bring him back and kind of pick up the conversation where we left off. We'll get him on in just a moment. A couple quick announcements. If you've not checked out our Faith Radio app, I really want you to. It's free. And that way, wherever you travel, you can catch our shows, live stream them from anywhere and catch the podcast as well. Check out our Faith Radio app in Apple App Store or on Google Play. And just so grateful that we're experiencing just massive growth at Faith Radio. Thanks to the Lord and thanks to you and your faithful gifts. So I want to just give a shout out to friends listening in and maybe one of our new markets, 94.1 FM in Hartford, 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM in Madison, or one of the two FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7 or 97.5. Or maybe you're streaming online. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, tell me about it. Email me. Tell me that you're a new listener, where you're listening from. And if you include your mailing address, your name will go in a drawing. We'll pick a couple names and send some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. And if you want to take it to the next level and get a welcome packet that's just full of great information, encouraging content, you have to request that. But you can do it for free on our website at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Steve Arterburn is a best-selling author and the founder and chairman of New Life Ministries. He's the host of the nationally syndicated New Life Live, a daily radio program and creator of Women of Faith conferences, and we're glad to have him back with us. Hey, Steve, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks. Great to be back with you, and always love to get to connect with you because you really do seem to care about the people that are listening to you and wanting to give them information that can really change things. Mm. So it's always good to be with you, Susan.
Thank you, Stephen. That is just actually very true. I mean, I care deeply about our dear listeners. And as you know, everybody, it seems, is walking through some kind of fire right now. And we hear from our listeners, and they are so receptive and teachable and want the tools they need to navigate life's storms. And so I'm excited to dig into the content of this great book. Before we get there, wondering, we love to start every conversation, Steve, talking scripture. And I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Well, Ephesians 3:20 is a verse that if I were to sign a book for you, I would I'd use that verse. I'd mark that verse down. And really, essentially, it's saying that God, trust God. He will literally provide stuff for you, meaningful things beyond what you could even think of or imagine. And, you know, when I look at my life and so many of the early failures of my life, and then I think about some of the things that God has allowed me to do, I mean, it just has played out over and over again that He really will. If you'll trust Him when the world tells you not to, when you know, it feels more likely that you would doubt, you just trust Him. And things will happen in your life. You just won't believe how He will pour out His blessing upon you and allow you to do some stuff you never dream. In fact, here's kind of the headline. When we mess up, when we make mistakes, or when the world just tumbles in on us because it's a fallen world, a lot of that stuff, you know, I don't think God causes that to happen. I think it's a result of living in a fallen world. And I'm sure there's some things that God does cause to happen to get our attention, things like that. But here's the thing. Whatever the source of that horrible thing, trust God. And over time, down the road, just around the bend, I have seen Him make it look like it was meant to be from the very beginning. Like Chuck Colson. I don't think God caused Chuck Colson to sin and commit a crime in Watergate, goes to prison and establishes that fantastic, fantastic ministry, Prison Fellowship. And you look back and it just, it seems like it was meant to be, that he would be the one that would go to prison and catch that vision. And that's what God does in so many cases. And look at Joseph, sold into slavery by his evil brothers, and then look at the impact he has on the nation of Israel. So no matter where you are today, how rough it is, don't you give up on God. Trust him and keep moving forward, and God is going to pour out a blessing I think you never even dreamed possible in your life.
Somebody needed to hear that today. One of our guests said recently, Jesus is the only one who lived plan A. The rest of us live plan B, C, and D, but Jesus turns them into plan A as if that was the plan to begin with, just much like you said. And it's a marvel how he can do that. And I'm going back, you know, Ephesians 3:20-21 is my go-to as well. Love that passage. And you think about that, he wants to, he will do above and beyond all we could ever dare to ask or think. But to me, the clincher word in that verse is according to his work within us. So he's no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of our yes and our no. I mean, how much access are we willing to give him to our character and our inconsistencies and our fears and our wounds? Don't you feel like that's the clincher? I mean, how big is your yes to him really determines how big the work you see in and through you, right?
No, I agree. And you know, I was listening to someone today say, you know, God is a respecter of persons, and God doesn't send anyone to hell. He just honors the choice that a person makes. And, you know, I think raising kids, I think that's something that is hard for us to do, but we need to honor their choices, their negative choices, and let some of those consequences play out, because if we don't, then they never learn. They never grow in character. And it doesn't mean we let somebody play in the freeway to teach them a lesson about traffic. But I do think that we need to honor the choice that some of our young people make, even when it's humiliating and it's painful for us to let that take place.
And boy, so many of those young people who wander and then come back around, when they'll speak of the divine intersection, how God still puts people in their path. He's not let them go or look the other way. And so it is amazing how he continues to pursue. So take your life back. The book's been out a little while, but I want to know, Steve, because you've written a number of books, how this one and why this one, you suppose, was born in your heart.
Well, Dr. Dave Stoop and I, we've written many things together, and this is part of our life recovery resources. And of course, life recovery, that Bible, this is its 30th anniversary, and we'll probably sell our 3 million of a Bible about recovery, which is just so amazing how God has used it in prisons and other places. And so we wanted to write a book. This is literally the purpose of this, where we invited people who would never, ever be interested in or think that it was even biblical to talk about 12 steps or recovery. And so we just said, look, what are people in need of doing who get caught up in this world, the affairs, the world? And, you know, as Paul said to Timothy, he said, don't you worry about too much in this world, or you're never, ever going to be able to be all that God has called you to be. And so when that happens, what do we do? And so this whole book, it has strong, strong principles for restoration, recovery, and transformation, so that you take your life back so that you can give it to the Lord in the way that God intends it to be offered to him and offered to others in Christian service.
With that, we're going to pause here. Talking to Steve Arterburn, we have 3 copies of Steve's book, Take Your Life Back. Would love to get you in on the drawing. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember that mailing address. Susie is spelled S-U-S-I-E, Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to live the abundant life, what it means to open our arms, unclench our grip, and start to trust God rather than trying to control things ourselves. Talking to Steve Arterburn. More great conversation when we return.
He started something good.
I'm just unfinished, but he's working it through, and he's working it through with you as well. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored and blessed to have Steve Arterburn back in the program with us. He's got a great book titled Take Your Life Back. We've got three copies. I'd love to get a copy into your hands. Just enter the drawing this way. Email me, Susie with two S's, no Z, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget the mailing address. And if you've got a question for Steve, include that as well, and I'll do my best to weave it into our conversation. Steve, I love this. You wrote, to live that abundant life, we must simply open our arms and unclench our grip on everything we've been so desperately trying to hold on to. That's fantastic. I bet we could spend the hour on that one alone, but speak to that if you would.
Well, you know, sometimes we look at people that are addicted or, you know, they're compulsive in their shopping and spending or whatever it is, and we think, man, those people really need help. Look at the things in their lives that are so horrible. But sometimes we are holding on to what appears to be good things. And we hold on to them because they provide us with, you know, what would have to be called a false security. You know, maybe we think that, well, we're just going to do everything right. We're going to follow those commandments and then God's going to protect us and it's all going to work out. Well, you know, if you were in the Garden of Eden, that's exactly what would happen, but we're not. We're in a fallen world, and sometimes we have to look at the things that we might be relying on more than just trusting God. I'll oversimplify it by saying this. Let's just say that you are saving up for retirement. Well, that's a good thing, but maybe you have some stacks of money that they're just too big. Maybe those stacks are too numerous, and that if you really trusted God, you'd give up some of those stacks. You'd be fine in your retirement and those kind of things, but you're holding on to it out of responsibility, and it looks good. Of course it's good, but Satan is using it, and he's getting your focus off of God and trusting God for everything, and you're really more trusting in financial resources than you are in the Lord. So all of us, no matter what, Satan takes some of the best things, and he can use them to literally captivate our heart, our mind, and our spirit. They look so good, but Satan is just absolutely genius at turning them against us. And so whether something is good or not so good, or obviously not so good, we need to be sure that we are the deciders in our life. We're the defenders of our own value in our lives, so that, you know, God is really in control. He is the one that, well, he's the director of it all, that we've found a way to surrender to him, not to anything of this world, whether it would be considered good or bad.
So it's like you're giving the power away. And I'm thinking of other examples, maybe a job that you feel like you would die if you lost, or maybe a role at church, an important leadership role that commands a lot of respect, that you would lose part of yourself if you lost. Would that be kind of one of the indicators to think, if I lost this, I would lose me, that's maybe a sign to maybe just look and unclench your fists a bit?
Well, I think it is. And you know, the word moderation is just, I don't even like to use it. It's so tough because, you know, we want to go all out and gung-ho and all of that. But moderation, restraint, surrender, these are the kinds of things I think that cause us to stop and just see, where is our faith? Is it in our Lord, or is it in our fame, our fortune, the position we have, those kinds of things that will never, ever be totally fulfilling to us, no matter how great they are.
Let's talk about this tendency. This is another aspect of taking life back, our lives back, because we can sometimes compare until we despair, so to speak. And you write this, when we're constantly looking at what's happening with other people and measuring our satisfaction based on how fairly we feel we've been treated, we're forever at the mercy of what's going on over there. Say more, if you would.
Well, that's part of reactive living. And you may have had some things happen in your past or maybe not too distant past. Somebody might have done something to you. You might have made some kind of really crummy decision that hurt yourself. And maybe it occurred literally years ago. But when you look at it, you're still reacting to it. And if you're reacting to anything that comes your way, you really are at the mercy of other people being nice to you or not bringing up things that are sensitive to you. And I believe what God wants us to do, he wants us to resolve those things from the past that cause us to be reactive. And he's provided a way for us to do it. You know, one of the great gifts, it's a painful gift, but one of the great gifts that God has given to all of us is literally the gift of grieving. It is a way of letting go of things. And it's so powerful. And so many people, especially Christians, I think, have these ungrieved losses. You could say it's like an epidemic in the Christian faith where, you know, we're just, oh, well, you know, forgive and forget, move on. You'll get over, trust God, put on a happy face, that kind of thing. And we have all of this unresolved hurt and pain and struggle and agony. And God doesn't want that for us. And so we have to let go of it. And grieving it, where we literally, rather than ignore or try to cover up our feelings, we express the hurt and the pain and the suffering that we're going through and the anger. So we don't just say, oh, yeah, I forgive you. Hey, we look at what we've lost. We get angry over that. And, you know, it's so wonderful that if I go through a grieving process and I deal with all of this anger and this bitterness and resentment, I don't have to do that every day. But some people who've never fully grieved over something that they've lost or some hurt they've dealt with, they feel it as if it were yesterday. And when you talk with them, you kind of get that sensation, oh, wow, this is so fresh. And then you hear it happened 3 decades ago, and you just shake your head and you think, oh, man, there's so much pain that's unnecessary there. And, you know, that's what New Life, that's why I love doing what I do, is trying to help people to do the things that Scripture encourages us to do. Jesus was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with the bitterest of grief. So you're not sinning when you just don't instantly get over something. You're really doing exactly what Jesus did when you're going through that grieving process.
Well, and somebody, this is not as nearly eloquent as what you just said, but somebody once said if you bury something before it's dead, you know, while it's still alive, it will stink up your life. And that's just what's true. It's like you get a soul infection because it's not been resolved. And I wonder, Steve, what are some wise steps? We probably got about 4 minutes to our hard break at the bottom, but wise steps for someone listening going, okay, you got me, Steve. I've not fully grieved and sorted through my disappointments. And part of that, I think, sometimes comes from comparison because it's not as bad as so-and-so. So we've not given ourselves full permission to grieve. But what are some steps that a person could do to make some space so they can sort through some of these losses?
Well, I think you have to take some time to reflect on what's going on in your life and what has gone on and to see the reality that's there and to be able to say, yeah, you know, I've got these things that I haven't dealt with very well. You see it and then you can say it. Then you can open up about it. You see it and then you say it out loud and that takes some of the power and then you own it. You take responsibility to do whatever needs to be done for you to be free. It's a powerful thing when we take responsibility rather than waiting for God to do what, you know, I think probably God's waiting for us to do. Mm-hmm. Let's deal with it and let's get free rather than wait for God to bring someone along to do it or wait for some miracle. You know, become the miracle. You do the work that's outlined there in Scripture and get yourself free.
Well, Stephen, you think about it. When you put something off and you know it's waiting there for you, I would imagine, and I guess I know that from my own life, it can create more anxiety because you know you have to deal with it. But there's no grace for procrastination. And yet when you do dig in, because you're afraid it's going to swallow you whole, but when you do dig in, there is an actual grace, a supernatural grace to take it one step at a time. And speak to that, because that's the reality of God with us, you know, an ever-present help in times of trouble, right?
Oh, it's true. Now, you know, God says he'll never give us anything that's too much for us to handle. Now, he doesn't say by ourselves, and we're encouraged to come alongside somebody else. And, you know, James 5:16, where it says, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other that you might be healed. Well, you know, that there's an indication that all of this stuff that God wants us to do, it isn't done alone. It's done with someone else. Now, yes, if you're a missionary in Africa and there's no one speaks your language and you're all you've got, okay. Well, I think, you know, God can work with that. But most of us aren't in that situation. And so he wants us to open up and to take the power of that sin away. And many times, just opening up about something removes so much of the power from it. But in secrecy, oh my goodness, the sickness increases and also the intensity of the problem. So God calls us to open up with another person, and that can be the beginning of a whole new life of freedom that maybe we haven't experienced in a long time, or maybe we've never experienced it ever.
And if you can get a vision for what Steve said at the open of the show, that God is able, as Scripture says, to do above and beyond all you could ever dare to ask or imagine. I mean, we all have wild imaginations, yet God wants to do what's even beyond what you can imagine according to his work within you. So we have to get to that point to say, have your way in me, Lord, do your work in me. Talking to Steve Arterburn today, we've got 3 copies of his book, Take Your Life Back. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember that mailing address. And when we come back, I want to talk about our false self and our real self, these two selves that we tend to have and how we navigate that and what God actually wants for us. More with Steve Arterburn in just a moment. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise, talking to Steve Arterburn, talking about his book, Take Your Life Back. Maybe you're just tired of being on a perpetual cycle or feeling like you're at the mercy of others' opinions, others' choices, or your past, or things you've not fully sorted through. There's a time where we've kind of put a flag in the ground and we start to make some choices and own our story and invite God into it. And we start to watch him untangle our fears and all of our stuff. And we really can serve that enemy notice and say, you know what? This is where you end and I begin. Well, Steve, if we could talk a bit about our false self and our real self, you touch on that in the book, kind of make the distinction and why it matters.
Well, you know, there are different ways that we put out a false self. And so often it is in the form of, you know, us trying to look so much better than we really are, or trying to cover up and hide things that are there, and everybody has these things. But, you know, one of the problems with our church can be that it's not safe to be who you are. And so, you know, rather than it being a place where we go and we worship and we have great redemptive relationship, we go and we fake it, and we put forth this false self, and we, you know, say praise alleluia or whatever it is that, you know, makes us feel spiritual, or we believe people, when they hear it, will think we're spiritual. And here's the problem. You know, God is love, But because of this false self living, a lot of people don't feel that love, and here's why. Somebody says, oh, you know, I just think you are the greatest. I think you're wonderful. I love you. You don't feel it if all you've shown them is a false self, something that isn't really there. You're going to immediately default to, well, yeah, but if they really knew the real me, because you're not living authentically, you don't get to feel God's love that he provides to us through other believers. So it's really important that we live in the real self. Now, I did something different than that. You know, when I was in college, I regretfully paid for an abortion. And, you know, I thought that what God wanted me to do was to show the world and God that nobody had felt worse about this than me. And so I just lived in shame, and I wore that shame. And that wasn't what God wanted for me. That's what Satan absolutely wanted me to do. Because as long as I was living in shame rather than in God's grace, I was worthless. And so, you know, I would just kind of create this false kind of humility and unworthiness that was there. And all the while, God was, you know, waiting for me to get my act together and to use me. And I'm just so grateful. I heard Chuck Swindoll one day say, you know, your past, well, it just ended a second ago. Why live in it? It's paid for. And so live in the grace that our Lord has provided. Went to a lot of trouble so that you could be free from that past. And that just began a process of changing everything, where I could live the real self, the authentic self, not some caricature of who God wanted me to be.
Boy, you know, to me, it's akin, Steve, to a woman who wants a man so bad that she's like, you tell me what you care about or who I should be, and I'll be that person. And you're never fully safe in that situation. To the woman who's confident to say, I'm going to be me, trusting I'll draw the right person to me at the right time. I mean, maybe that's not even the best analogy, but I feel like if we can be ourselves, our tribe, God will help us find our tribe, and he will help us find people who will walk through the varying seasons of life. And there's a safety in that, because they know you, messes and all, and you know them as well. And that's, to me, the beauty of community, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And I think, you know, you on your program, as we on ours, you'll often have someone call and they'll say, you know, I'm living with this man, and my beliefs are so important to me, and I want to say, well, if they're so important, what are you doing living with that man? You know, and so often they want something, they want a change, or they want a new dimension in the relationship, but it's just not going to happen because they're already living there. They've already said to that person, I endorse whatever you kind of throw my way or force me into. And so it's really sad when we think we've got to go against our values, or we've got to create something that we're not, or settle for something less than God has for us. It is never, ever satisfying. It just never, ever does what we were hoping it's going to do. And I'll tell you, I've got an amazing bonus son named James, and he is just living out the character, the godly character that God has called him into. And I just see these miraculous things happen. Not a trouble-free life at all, but a life with purpose and meaning. But to do that, he has to say no to a lot of things that other 18-year-olds are doing. But he's living proof that when you do that, when you make that sacrifice, God honors it and comes alongside you and strengthens you, builds you up, and encourages you, and you get to live a life that very, very few people will ever get to experience. That's what he's doing.
That's amazing, Steve. Congratulations on that, for sure. And I like how you called him bonus son. That's pretty sweet. But, you know, I'm thinking, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was just, in fact, I'm going to be on Family Life today in October talking about being a bonus parent. When I married my wife, she had two boys, and I just didn't want to be a stepdad, and they already had a stepdad, a fine dad, and so I just said, I'm going to
I'm going to be a bonus to you, not something to step on. And, well, that's just the way the relationship started, and it sure has worked out. I love them, you know, like they're my own, because they are.
That's awesome. That's just awesome. Well, I'm thinking about different scenarios where people are sacrificing their convictions, and they're allowing things that they think by appeasing this, I'm making peace, when really they're probably keeping the peace because they're losing a part of themselves in it all, no matter what it may be. If they start to draw the line to say, you know what, this is does not at all jive with my convictions. I know better, and I need to have some self-respect, so I'm going to push that line back. That really is kind of one of those dividing lines as far as you see what the relationship really is made of, because sometimes people take advantage with no intention. They just, you've allowed it, and they just think this is how we are, and they go, oh, my word, I would never want that if you didn't want that. Where other times, you'll see a massive reaction in how one-sided the relationship really is. I mean, speak to that dynamic of once you kind of get some boundaries back in your life.
Well, you know, you're so right, because somebody else watching you and seeing the choice that you've made, even the choice to be with them, then they think, well, you know, whatever I am, then you kind of endorse that because we're living together and you're with me, and it's very hard to undo that. But as painful and difficult as it is, you simply must. Well, in the book, we use this. We say every person must be their own decider. You know, you have to be the one to make choices. You can't turn that over to somebody else. And, you know, when you're the decider, then you're going to decide you have value. If you don't think you have value in the Lord as a creation of God, then you're just going to let people walk all over you, and you're never going to defend your value. So you have to be the decider and the defender in your life. And, you know, then when that happens, you can allow God to be the director of your life. But so often we get comfortable, or we're afraid of what we're going to lose. We don't really believe God's going to come through for us. And, you know, somebody will be with the most unhealthy human being, and they won't decide to get married. They'll slide into getting married because they're so entangled with this person and physically involved with this person. And, oh, my goodness, it is nothing but trouble. And I got to tell you, God's truth is so powerful. God is not a party pooper. God really is out to protect us. And I know so many people who just didn't think that this thing about not having sex unless you're married, they just thought that was old-fashioned, and they just went for it anyway. And they're in these marriages where marital sex is not satisfying, doesn't have the same risk and the rush and the adrenaline when they knew they were doing something that wasn't exactly in line with God. And so, like little bad children and stuff, the adrenaline was there. And so I just can't encourage people enough, follow God's teachings. And if you haven't, repent, turn the other way, let his truth transform you, and you can get back the very dream that God had for your life. But you have to make some tough decisions if you're going to do that.
You know, I feel convinced somebody's driving today or listening going, their heart is beating faster because they know you're talking right to them, and it's time to draw some lines, but you will be so glad you did, because God's will for you is your best case scenario. And, you know, I was thinking another story, another counselor that we had on told this story. It was amazing. He said that this woman, this wife, had this view of submission that was extreme, that anything goes that her husband said, he's the leader, and she really didn't have a voice. And so she just sort of thought that was God's way and the godly way, even though her own convictions sometimes flew in the face of some of the things that he'd suggested. And it culminated to an extreme when he told her for his birthday he wanted to bring another woman in their bedroom so there'd be three of them. And she thought she'd be sick, and she thought she had to do it for submission's sake. And she says to the counselor, "This, I feel like I'm going to be sick. You know, I can't do this." And he said, "This is absolutely not what God would have you do. This is when you stand up to your husband and you draw a line." And so she went back and said, "I absolutely will not, cannot do this." And by her drawing a line, the spirit of conviction came upon him, and he wept, and he repented, and he said, I had been pushing and pushing the line, and thank you for having the guts and the courage to draw a line, and he repented. That is another implication, Steve, of us drawing godly boundaries, is how it impacts other people. I mean, God uses that, doesn't he?
Well, he does, and look, you have to, if you're hearing this and you're thinking, you kind of relate to this woman, you have to ask yourself, what is the real excuse? Now, all of us that are believers, we know God does not want us to enable evil or participate in evil. And so what is the real excuse? Is it fear? Is it the fear of abandonment? Is it maybe it's just out and out inadequacy or a lack of faith that God's going to take care of you? You really need to look at the real excuse that you're hanging around and allowing some very unholy and unhealthy things to happen, and you're trying to provide a spiritual reason for doing it, like God wants me to submit no matter what. Because the verse before it says a wife should submit to her husband says you need, out of reverence for Christ, to submit yourselves one to another. It's mutual submission. There's no dictator doormat arrangement in marriage that honors God. That isn't, it's all in the context of mutual submission, not dictatorship.
Thank you for that, Steve. That, I think, again, I feel strongly somebody's listening today going, okay, that was my word for today. Want you to know, we're getting a number of emails in. Would you believe only one has a mailing address? And I can't mail a book without a mailing address. So let's try this again. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember that mailing address. And three of you get a copy of Take Your Life Back. You can see it's just practical, tangible advice. And it's amazing how all of us give up certain territory over to the enemy to give away power to people that God wants us to have so we can fully serve Him. This matters. It's a good conversation. More with Steve Arterburn when we return. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. So glad you tuned in. Talking to Steve Arterburn today about his book, Take Your Life Back. Show him what you're worth. That's Mandisa. Love that. Email if you want in on the drawing. Don't forget that mailing address, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And before the break, we were talking about how oftentimes we give away our convictions, our values, even our power, and we spiritualize it. But it's not good for anybody. It's not good for the person who's trampling on our land, so to speak. And it's not good for us to absolve ourselves from standing up and having some guts and backbone to live our convictions. You actually address the topic in your book of learned helplessness. Boy, that's fascinating. Say more, if you would.
Well, sometimes we get to a place where, and a lot of times it starts with some really devastating things that happen, or, you know, maybe even our parents didn't teach us certain competency skills about life. And you combine that with some, you know, tragedies and things that happen, losing a job or not being able to get one or something like that. And you end up depressed and are very anxious, and you just come to discover how to be helpless, to where, you know, you tell people and you kind of believe it yourself that you can't help yourself, that you cannot get out of whatever situation that you're in, and you become, you're not codependent, you're dependent on other people to take care of you. And you are angry at the church because they won't step in and feed you every meal, or they won't pay your rent or provide a place free for you to stay. And it's just a miserable place to be. And just as we can learn to be helpless, we can also learn to value ourselves and make some hard decisions with the support of others, so that we're not in that place of deep despair and desperation. That's a horrible place to be, and you don't have to be there. God doesn't want you to be there.
Very good. You talked about earlier about this reactionary cycle, that we get into a reaction to things versus in response, and we've talked about that on the show numerous times. Another reactionary practice that you identified is to attack, and here's another way. Maybe you've given your life away, given it away to manipulating through anger, but Steve, you write this. With the face we show the world, most people think we're quite nice, but back at home, there's a price to be paid for our dreams not coming true. We make sure that whoever's causing us all this grief understands in great detail the extent of his or her defective way of life. This is a powerful, it's like almost inverted as far as using other people to get your way, but nobody's free. Everybody's captive then.
Oh, it's true. And, you know, we call those people users. They use other people. Oftentimes, you know, they're narcissists, and they believe the whole world is designed just, you know, for them and whatever dream or whatever desire they have. And the sad thing is, a lot of times we're not very good at picking out those people and eliminating them from our lives before they cause, you know, quite a bit of damage. And so we have to evaluate our relationships, and not every relationship is good and healthy. And sometimes, like, let's just say there's a parent relationship, and people will say, well, you know, I want to honor my father and my mother. Well, that doesn't mean that you bring honor to something that's dishonorable. That would be horrible to do that. That would be confusing, first of all, to the world and to your children. So what can you do to honor these dishonorable people? Doesn't mean you have to spend a week with them during the holidays and stuff. No, I think the greatest honor that you can give them is to become something that they could never, ever help you become. Grow in the character that they didn't have. Learn the things about redemptive relationships that they have no idea about. You want to honor them. Go be something fantastic. Honor them that way rather than enable their evil. You know, the Bible's really clear. When you wink at wrong, you cause trouble. But an open rebuke brings lasting peace. That's what peacemaking is all about. Now, that doesn't mean we want to confront a person right off the bat. It means we want to have a conversation with them where we're talking about the reality that's there versus trying to, you know, ignore it or push it under the table. That doesn't help anybody. Again, it enables evil, and I just don't see any way that you can justify that, and or any way that God would condone enabling evil in your own home.
Mm. Got time probably for one, maybe two more questions before it's time to wrap and pray. It's been so good, Steve. Make a distinction, if you would, between self-pity and self-compassion.
Mm. Well, the whole poor me thing of, you know, how I've been mistreated and all that's happened to me, you know, that's what self-pity is. You know, I've been a victim. I've been hurt. And, you know, some people, they really have been hurt. But that's different. That's different than self-compassion, where even if you've made the mistake yourself, you're able to say, hey, look, I'm a human being, and I want to believe that I'm kind of superhuman or supernatural, but here's just an example of my humanity. And I'm going to ask God to use that to grow me up, and I'm going to give myself a break. I didn't have somebody to step in with character and teach me when I was younger how to deal with this in a different way. So I'm going to believe that God loves me. I'm going to accept his forgiveness for the mistakes I've made, or I'm going to accept his grace. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up, because, hey, I'm worthy of God's love. And I may feel painful and inadequate and those kinds of things, but I know a better day is coming. So I'm going to be a little lighter on myself today. I'm not going to shame myself, condemn myself. I'm going to give myself a break. That's more of the compassion side than the self-pity side.
Mm. Boy, and you sure can see with self-pity what a parasite it is, because You know, I always say you don't need pity. You have God's promises. And it's like pity is a parasite. It just sucks you dry. And in fact, I remember reading a quote from one of the famous old dead guys. I can't remember which one, but he said something like, destructive is the pity of a fool. Like somebody just singing your pity praises because they want your approval, and how bad that is for your soul, because you don't need pity. Where compassion, self-compassion, you can see how healing that would be. Well, with about 2 minutes we have left, Steve, any just practical advice across the board for people just to take a look at some inventory of their life, if there are places where they need to take some of their life back that they've maybe given away, handed over through passivity or fear or something else?
Well, let me just talk to you about one of the most powerful words in the English language. In fact, when years ago, when somebody wanted to have a magazine that would stand the test of time, they did all the research on all the words, and they came up with this word when they put the title on Better Homes and Garden, and it's the word better. Look, whatever situation you're in, why don't you ask yourself, could it be better? What do I need to do to make it better? We have provided a tool in Take Your Life Back to make your life better, to go from wherever it is closer to what God would have it to be. To do that, take some courage, take some self-compassion, connection, and redemptive relationship with somebody else. But when you do those kinds of things, you get to live that abundant life, that life, that blessed life that's promised to all of us. And if you're not living it, it's still there. It's available to you.
Well, Steve, you wouldn't be getting out of bed every day and working your tail off if you didn't believe this. You're seeing results in people who once were, fill in the blank, and now are better and are flourishing and thriving. You're seeing the results, aren't you?
Oh, we do. And, you know, we have an 800 number. We have people there all the time. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some encouragement, some help, we do these amazing intensives. If the person you're married to or you're having trouble with sexual integrity or intimacy in marriage, all of these things we work with. We work with the things that are difficult for so many people to talk about in the church. But, you know, fortunately, they're listening to you, Susie, because you do talk about them, and I applaud you for that. And anytime you lose out on a guest or something, you call me. I'll jump on.
Amen, brother. I'll take you up on that. I appreciate it so much. It's been fantastic. And wondering if you pray for that person. I just know it, Steve. Somebody's listening who you were speaking to, who knows they've given away some of themselves, and God's saying, time to pull back and draw some lines. Would you pray for that person, please?
Well, Lord, I want to pray for the person that just knows that things could be better, but they have so many intact excuses and roadblocks, and I just pray, give them the courage, first of all, to see the reality of their situation, and then to open up with somebody that might have some wisdom for them so that they will take some courageous action. And Lord, I pray this. I pray that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, will empower them to do the tough thing, but the thing that will honor you in ways that maybe you've never been honored by that life. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Dear Steve, thank you, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Susie. God bless you, and blessings to everybody that's listening today.
Thank you so much for your time. Title of Steve's book, again, is Take Your Life Back. Email, love to get your name in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that mailing address. Love that line in that song, Tell the Devil, No, Not Today. So you're drawing a line with him as well. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And you can find a podcast of this conversation up on our website in just a little bit at myfaithradio.com. Send it out to a friend if you know they need it. Coming up next is Hour 2, Talk to Me Thursday. It's a re-air program, but I want you to hear it. It's very important to my heart. So don't go away. Another great hour is up next.